We're going to continue our series today called You've Got a Friend in Me, all about friendship. It's one of my favorite series. I said this last week, but for me, man, one of the defining things about my life is just that God has surrounded me with great friends, and it's made all the difference. And I also love this series because, man, friendships and friends is an everyday experience for all of us, and it has a lot of impact on us. And so I want us to see that today specifically. We're going to talk about why good friends matter. Last week we talked about how to be a good friend. Today we're going to talk about why do good friends matter. So we'll be kind of all over scripture today, but we'll have it up on the screen for you. I just want to ask, hey, take 10 seconds right now and just ask God to teach you something today. God, only you have the words of life. And so will you teach us this morning about why good friends matter, how important it is to have people around us, God, that can help us know and follow and love you more. God, teach us this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. How many of you guys have ever gotten bad advice from friends? Anybody? Where like you're like, you know what? That turned out to be really bad advice, but I trusted it because they were my friend. That happened to me when I was in eighth grade. I had a crush on this girl named Brooke. And she, I thought, liked me back. I did the thing where I asked all of her friends. I was like, hey, if I asked her out, would she say yes? And her friends was like, oh, yeah, she's definitely going to say yes. So one day I asked her out after one of our classes. And then later that day I found a note in my locker that said, I just want to be friends, from Brooke. And so I got some bad intel there. And so I was pretty bummed about that. But we also had a dance later that night. It was a Friday, and so we had an eighth grade dance that night. And at the dance, I was hanging out with my friend Jarrett. All right, now Jarrett was a good friend of mine in eighth grade, and I was, you know, just telling him how bummed I was. Ah, man, Brooke said no, and Jarrett gave me some advice, and he said, "Hey, ask her out again." And I said, "Again? Like, I just asked her out today, and she said no." And he said, No, ask her out again. So I said, okay. And so I asked Brooke to dance with me. She was a little surprised I even asked her to dance because it was already awkward. Coupled with the fact that we were in eighth grade, so everything's awkward. And so we're dancing, and in the middle of the song, I drop it on her again. I say, hey, Brooke, will you go out with me? And she said, hey, I already told you today I just want to be friends. And she walked away mid-dance, left me standing right in the middle of the dance floor by myself, just kind of swaying. And eventually I walked off alone, which is fine. I'm over it now, all good here. But my heart's not broken anymore. Don't worry. But as I think back on that time, you know what I really think is I'm like, you know what? My friend Jarrett gave me some terrible advice. That was bad advice, and had I not listened to it, I could have saved myself a heartbreak and a really awkward moment where everybody is looking at me wondering why I'm standing in the dance floor all by myself after this girl walked away from me. And I tell you that story to go, man, back then I was really easily convinced that that was the right move. When I went to go ask Brooke to dance and gonna ask her out again, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get the girl. Right? And because I was convinced it was the right move. And the reason I was convinced it was the right move was because Jarrett was convinced it was the right move. He wasn't trying to hurt me or cause me embarrassment or anything. He really thought that was good advice. I don't know. Maybe he's seen one too many romantic movies. I don't know. But he thought that's what good things were going to happen if I asked her out again. And I just followed that advice because I trusted my friend. I was easily influenced by my friend. I gave Jarrett a bunch of influence in my life. So much so that I didn't even realize, I didn't even stop to think, was this a good idea or not? And in the same way, I think your friends have so much influence over you. And you may not realize it, but I think your friends influence you in a ton of ways, more than you think. What you wear, places you go, where you do eat, where you don't eat, what you watch, how you act. And then here's a real tell is the phrases that you say. Like, I'm convinced that, like, your friends are the ones that impact the phrases that you say. If your friend says something a lot, you're probably going to start saying that same thing, right? That's how these like catchphrases, that's how they spread. And your friends have more influence over you, probably more so than you realize. And they inform your decisions. And so as we talk about why good friends matter, the reason is because they have so much influence over you, because you give them that influence. And so because of that, you got to be wise who you surround yourself with. You need to know that who your friends are determines who you'll be, where you'll go, and how you get there. And so I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15:33, just one verse right here that says this. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So let me give you a little context of what's happening here, because that's just one verse. This is in a letter that Paul, who was a follower of Jesus, wrote to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a group of people in this place called Corinth. That's why they're called the Corinthians. And he wrote to people that were also followers of Jesus in a church there. And he was writing to tell them a lot of things in this letter. But in this section, he is addressing something that's happened. And what's happened is that there are some people in that area of Corinth that are claiming that the resurrection of Jesus never happened, that he never raised from the dead. And so much so that it's starting to seep in, that idea that Jesus never rose from the dead is starting to seep in to people in that church. Now, here's the crazy part, is that the resurrection of Jesus in Christianity is like dribbling in basketball. Like, it is one of the most fundamental parts of Christianity, right? If Jesus did not raise from the dead after he died on the cross, then he would have just been another casualty of death. There would be no hope for us for eternal life and a relationship with God through what he did on the cross. It is that fundamental and that critical to our faith. So you can imagine not believing something that fundamental, or the idea that it didn't happen, not only affects what you believe, but it'll also eventually affect your hope, how you act, the way you live. It affects everything. And so Paul is telling them, guys, don't buy into this. Like, Jesus rose from the dead. It's a fundamental thing of who we are and what we believe. And so in doing so, he says this. He says, guys, don't be misled by this idea that it didn't happen. And he throws out this: bad company corrupts good character. And if you're wondering why that statement is in quotation marks, what that indicates is that at the time, that was like a commonly used phrase that like you just heard in culture around you. Kind of like today, you would hear things like, a penny saved is a penny earned, or a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I still don't even know what that means. If you know, you can tell me after, and that'd be great. But back then, that was a statement that was used a lot. Bad company corrupts good character. So he uses this statement that they're saying a lot to communicate, guys, when you're around people with certain ideas, contrary to yours, eventually those ideas are going to seep in. And they're going to change the truth that you have believed. They're going to change what you believe to be not truth. And so what I want to talk about here is what Paul knows is true and what he's saying, and that's this: your friends affect who you are. Your friends affect who you are. And here's the deal. Look, I know you're sitting there going, no. I make my own decisions. I'm my own man, or I'm my own woman. And you're like, I'm independent, all right? I'm the master and commander of my ship, of my life. But that's actually not true. Like, it's really not. So much of us are so easily influenced by others. We like the influence of others. The reason I know that that's true is because of things like Yelp, things like Rotten Tomatoes, and then there's a bunch of other things like that, right? Yelp is like, if you go are going to look at going to a restaurant and you see on Yelp that it's got like 1.5 out of 5 stars, and the latest review is like, I saw rats running around, you're like, you know what? I'm probably not going to go there. I'll just go somewhere else. When you go there, they will say, hey, if you've had a great experience here, will you please go on Yelp and review us and rate us good? Businesses will say that, hey, if we've served you well, will you go and review us on Yelp? Because they know it has a big impact on whether or not people go there. Rotten Tomatoes can determine whether or not people go see a movie. Right? If you're looking at All right, here's the four movies that are out. That one's 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. No way, I'm not even going to go. I don't care how good it looked. I was intrigued by it. I was interested, but it's got 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm out. So we thrive on feedback. We thrive on the influence of others. And here's what I would tell you. Your friends around you are like invisible Yelp, and they're like invisible Rotten Tomatoes. And what I mean by that is, like, you're not even searching for their opinion and their influence, but you're feeding off of it, and it is affecting you. We talked about this last week, but there's been this idea that's been thrown out by people who study behavior and stuff like that, that, hey, you are the average of the five closest people to you. And I agree with that. And so what I want you to do, what I want everybody to do right now for themselves, you can write this down. This is probably most helpful, but if you don't have anything to write with, you can just think about it in your head. I want you to think about five of the people that you are closest to in your life. Just everybody get that list of names in their head. Friends, whoever. The friends that you are closest to in your life, the five people that you are closest to, I want you to get that in your mind. Okay. Now I want you to think about those five names. And here's what I want you to think about in your mind. Is if you become more like each of them, what will you look like? If you become like each of them, what will you look like? Just everybody think about that for a second. I'm going to do it too. And so I want you to keep thinking about that this week. Like, I want you to think about, man, if I become like these people, what am I going to look like? What will I be like? How will I treat people? What will people think about me? If I become like these people, man, what's my life going to look like? What will I look like? What will be the positive things about me? What will be the negative things about me? Because it's going to happen. You are going to look like and become who you are around. The question is, who will you turn into? Who will you give influence over who you become? That's the question. I'm going to read you something out of Proverbs 1. This is Solomon, King Solomon, really wise. And this is what he says in Proverbs 1, 10 through 19. He says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse.' My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are quick to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. And such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." And so look what Solomon warns the people reading this. He goes, hey, don't go along with these people. He says, my son, right? Because he's like, look, I care about you. Do not go with these people who are trying to harm people, these people who are willing to take advantage of other people so that they can get something that they want. Do not go along with them. They will affect where you're headed. And you may not even realize it before it's too late. And Solomon knows something else about why good friends matter. Not only do friends affect who you are, friends affect where you're headed. Your friends affect where you're headed. As you listen to me read that, there was a statement in there that might have stuck out because it didn't sound like the rest of it. And it was this. It was like, how useless to spread a net in full view of the birds. And you're like, what was that? And that was Solomon using this like example of how, and what he's trying to do is say, here's how foolish it is to go along with these people like this. that are willing to hurt other people, that are rushing into sin, that are being foolish. Here's how foolish it is to go along with them. It would be like if you were trying to trap a bunch of birds, if you're trying to catch a bunch of birds, and you're trying to catch some birds, and you lay out the net, you're going to use a net to catch them, and you lay out the net right in front of them as they're watching. And the birds are just standing there looking at you like, come on, dude, we're watching you lay out the net. You're not going to get us with this. Wait until we're like feeding our baby birds, right? Like then lay out the net when we're not watching. But you're not going to catch them if you're laying out the net right where they can see it. And what he's saying is like, guys, you know when you jump in and associate and become close friends with people like this that are willing to cause hurt and pain to get what they want, people who are quick to be foolish, to do what they know is wrong. You know that when you're becoming friends with them, that when you're going along with them, you are stepping into a trap. That's what you're doing. And Solomon says, that is so foolish. You know, and some of us, we make this excuse like, I won't let them take me that far. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to let them take me there. I'm just going to hang around with them a little bit here. But friends affect where you go. And man, over the long term, it only gets farther and farther apart. Right? Like if I was going to walk in a straight line, let's say I'm going to walk to this pole, right? And I take a step, right? But let's say I turn just a little bit and I take a step. Well, then I'm not that far from where I would be. But man, if I walked a mile in both directions, I'd be a lot farther apart. If I walked 100 miles in both directions, I wouldn't even be able to see me anymore. And like over the long term, man, where you're headed changes so much based on who you're around. Other people have influence when you don't even realize that they do. That's what friends do. They keep us moving a certain way without us ever realizing it. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Unless you're being influenced in a direction that's not healthy, that's not good, that doesn't lead to life and joy and peace, that doesn't lead to knowing and trusting Jesus more, because he alone is worth knowing and trusting more than anything else. So I want to give us all something we can all do this week. It's a great little social experiment. Really, it's a prank, all right? And you can literally do it right after wake today, all right? As you are walking to your car with your family, Connor, come up here real fast. So as you're walking to your car with your family, here's what you do. All right, let's say Connor and I walk into the car. We're walking and I'm just going to like turn my body a little bit and get a little bit closer. And I don't even have to touch him. I don't have to say anything. It's better if you don't. That way they don't know what's happening. And you can just like start to influence. Has anybody ever done this before? I do it all the time. It's one of my favorite things. Thanks. It's one of my favorite things. And before you know it, you've like walked somebody into a pole and they're like, how did I get here? What am I doing? All right. I want us to do that over and over and over. I want it to be a game to see how far you can get somebody to go. I want you guys running people into lockers like that this week. That'd be funny. I'll do it here. Maybe I could get Todd. That would be funny. I'll report back next week. We'll see. But here's why I want you to do it. It's not going to hurt anybody, obviously. So that's good. And two, here's why I want us to do it. Because every time you do it, I want you to think to yourself, who are the people that are influencing me? And which direction are they influencing me? Every time you do that, and I want us to do it a lot this week. It'll be fun. It's a harmless little prank. And every time I want you to do it, I want you to think about, man, who are the people that are doing that to me in my life? And where are they walking me into? Hold on. Save your story for after, because I want to hear. We are being influenced. The people around you are walking you in a certain direction, and you don't even realize it. And so, I want to read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And this will be close to the end here. Because it's a good thing that people are influencing you. And here's why I want to show you that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one person keep warm alone? Though one person may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And when two or more people are committed to each other in a friendship and committed to the same goal, they get there quicker. And so here's the last reason why good friends matter. Not just because they affect who you are and where you're headed, but because they either help or hurt you getting there. Your friends either help or hurt you getting there. If you ever watch track and track meets, you'll always notice that the relays are always faster than just one person running. So the mile relay, four laps around the track, is always quicker than that one person running the mile. Even though they have to like hand off the baton and all that stuff, man, it's always quicker because they're working together to do it. And your friends are going to help you go somewhere fast. And you are going to help your friends go somewhere fast. The question is, where are you going quickly? Where are you headed fast? So those five people you thought of earlier, put them back in your mind. If you wrote them down, put that list back in front of you again. And I want you to think of each of those persons and say, hey, what is our common goal? What's the thing that unites us? What are we both chasing? Because like that's what you'll hit, right? Like what's our common goal more than anything else? So like, let me give you an example. And this is going to be a goofy example, kind of exaggeration. But I think it still communicates my point. Let's say it's video games. Let's say there's one person on that list. And what unites you two is that you love to play video games. That's all you do together. If it wasn't for video games, you probably wouldn't even be friends. And if that's the thing that unites, I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But if that is like your biggest thing that unites you, your common goal, I want you to fast forward 5 years and go, okay, who am I going to be in 5 years because of that? You'd be better at video games, but like that's it. And so then you got to ask the question, is my ultimate goal in 5 years just to be better at video games? And so the reason I give kind of that goofy example is to go, hey, the people in your life that are closest to you, whatever the thing that unites you guys the most, whatever the thing that you're chasing, you're going to get there more quickly than you would by yourself. But you got to ask yourself, hey, what is that? Man, is it just getting what we want? Is it popularity? Is it any number of things? Or is it like, man, I want to know Jesus more. I want to walk uprightly. I want to be a man or a woman of integrity. I want to do what's right. And I want to trust Jesus more and know him more and have a deeper relationship with him 5 years from now than I do now. And if that's you, then you get friends around you that are going to help you do that. Another great question to ask is my friend genuine in what they say, or do they only say what I want to hear? Because if they only say what you want to hear, they're going to hurt you getting there. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6 says this, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And I'll be really honest with you. If your goal is to be more popular, if your goal is just to be more liked, if your goal is, you know, anything kind of like that, then you don't need somebody that's going to tell you hard things. You can have somebody that just says what you want to hear. But if your goal is to know and trust Jesus more, to understand more of the great truth that he has, understand more of the peace that comes from a relationship with him, and to have that exist in your life, you're going to need people to tell you hard things. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to have to go, hey, the trajectory that you're on, where you're headed, is not where you want to be. And I know you don't want to hear that. but you need to turn a little bit. And they're going to have to come influence you. That's why it says wounds from a friend can be trusted. An enemy multiplies kisses. An enemy just tells you what you want to hear. But a friend, man, you can trust them. And even when they say hard things, you can trust them. And so if your friend is not willing to say hard things to you, you better make sure you give him permission to go, hey, you can say hard things to me. And then you better make sure they do it. And go, I want you to tell me if I'm headed in a direction that you know I don't want to go. I want you to tell me that. And so look, if our friends affect who we are, where we're headed, and how we get there, you get some people around you that are making you into who God has called you to be, where he's called you to go, and who will help you get there. We see that a lot in Scripture over and over again, why good friends matter. But there's also, you know, a place that, you know, a lot of pastors will go to when they want to illustrate truth from Scripture, and that's SpongeBob SquarePants. And so I want to show a clip from a SpongeBob movie, actually, to illustrate this point. Who would have thought? Let's check it out. We love Patrick, but here's the deal. SpongeBob, in that moment, you know what he needed was not somebody that's like, hey, make mine chocolate. He needed somebody to say, hey, isn't it kind of weird that there's all these like bones around? Isn't it weird that we have to like walk through this stuff? Isn't it weird that in this whole like, you know, goofy little graveyard scene that there's just an ice cream stand? That doesn't look right. And instead, Patrick was just along for the ride. And they were both just along for the ride. Just like, no, this is totally great. Go for it. As SpongeBob's walking right into death. And that was a goofy clip, obviously. But like the point, man, I think really actually is impactful in our lives is, man, the people in our lives, the people in your lives, are they the kind of people that will go, whoa, stop. We don't want to be here. Whoa, stop. You don't want to keep going anymore. Or are they the person that's influencing you to keep walking in to that giant sea creature's mouth with the fangs and death, and where there's no life and there's no joy and there's no peace and it's just dark? Or do you have a friend that's influencing you going, hey, let's go. Here's where life is found. Let's do it. And those are the friends you need. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Like, honestly, I could probably just look at your friends. I don't even need to know who you are. And I can go, hey, here's some things that are going to be true about that person in 5 years from now. And so as you think, what will my future be? What will I look like 5 years from now? You can easily answer that question just by looking at your friends. That's how real this is. So as you think, what do you want your future to be? You get friends with that future themselves. Lord, please give us wisdom and discernment. God, as we choose who we let surround us. And Lord, I'm not even talking about like, hey, we can't associate with people who don't believe in Jesus. That's not what you call us to. You call us to share the gospel with people. But specifically, Lord, the people that are closest to us, the people that we give the most influence to, would you just give us wisdom and discernment and help us see, God, that, man, that's a big decision. And Lord, I pray that if the people that we are closest to are people who are walking us into lockers, then, Lord, would you help us be honest with ourselves and give us courage to go, hey, I got to surround myself with some different people. And Lord, if the people around us are people who are walking us into more trust with you, that are helping us follow you, that are causing us to do what you've called us to do in order to have peace, in order to have life, in order to have joy. Lord, can we just be thankful? Would you create thankfulness in our hearts for those people? God, help us. We need your help. It's hard for us to see. We are blinded. We do not realize when people are influencing us. So help us see man, the kind of person that our friends are making us into. And let us be honest about that and change what needs to change. So God, we ask this by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. Amen.